Good morning, wonderful church. Pastor Steve had mentioned several times that you guys were the first church that started supporting us. And I want to add some little details that I think they are wonderful. We first met Pastor Jacoby in Chicago because a woman from Monterrey was going to come and they need a translator. And that woman was Pastor Flor. So we have the meeting and we were translating, and of course we engaged with both groups, the group that came with Pastor Flor and also the group that came from this church. So we started the relationship and it went deep. We have the opportunity to go together to visit Monterrey, and I remember Felipe going with us and many other people here, including Sandy Parra. And we have a wonderful experience being together, serving the people down in Monterrey. Our relationship continues, and we were in seminary at that moment, and it came the time when we finished the studies, and a group of this church went to Chicago for the commencements, and they were our family, surrounding us, supporting us, hugging us, because we didn't have family at that time in Chicago, and we were accompanied by them. It was the time when we left the country and we decided to drive down to Monterrey, and I remember in Laredo, Texas, we spent the last night in the U.S. And in the morning, I called Pastor Jacoby and saying, "We are crossing the border now." And he prayed for us. And this is so significant for us. Because you are very close to our heart. So in many ways, you guys have been our partners in missions. And whatever you hear from our report here, from the foundation, is part of your work, because we are an extension of you in Mexico in many ways. So we want to thank you for that. This is wonderful to have you as our partners. And of course, I bring greetings from churches in Mexico. I bring greetings from the foundation in Monterrey. You just heard the report from Patty that they are doing fine, and we are glad for that. And of course, we just want to say and repeat the words of Patty: you are missional. And that's one of the things that is highlighted in the Covenant Church. So we feel very at home here. And I was invited to give you some words and reflections from our country of service and our experience for the last 4 years there. And what we have seen is that in many ways God called us to a ministry of reconciliation. And then I have reflecting how can I be of service, and especially in that ministry. I'm going to refer to an old legend from the Talmud, and I probably, that legend suggests where to begin when searching for the way of service in the world. And the title of this small legend is, what is the Messiah? And of course, that's the question that many Jews are still asking. So Rabbi Joshua ben Levi asked Elijah, the prophet, when the Messiah will come? Elijah responded, go and ask him yourself. Where is he? Sitting in the gates of the city. He responded, how shall I know him? And Elijah responded, he's sitting among the poor, covered with wounds. The others unbind all the wounds at the same time, and then bind them again. But he unbinds one at a time and binds it up again, saying to himself, perhaps I shall be needed. If so, I must always be ready so as not to delay for a moment. This story raises several questions. One of them is, how does the prophet know when the Messiah will come or whether he might be found? Why will the Messiah be found outside the gates of the city? Why sitting among the poor? That was strange for them. Why cover with wounds? Why change bandages to others and his own at the same time? The coming Messiah, according to the prophets, is a suffering servant and a wounded healer. And we can find this image in Isaiah 53. His place is among the poor. He tends to his own wounds and as well as the wounds of others in anticipation of the moment when he will be needed. So it is for the same with all ministers and servants of God. We all are called to be wounded healers who look after our own wounds and at the same time prepare to heal the wounds of others. Healing wounds has to do with restoration. A person who is wounded has limitation and is not able to function in his own or her fully capacity. But in healing process, we are able to walk alongside others to serve them and to help them in their own healing process. In a broad sense, God calls us, all of us, to this ministry of reconciliation. From 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. How can I respond to this call to serve the world of reconciliation? How can I be of service in the world? You may ask these questions. What is your ministry to others? Where are you to spend your life and energies? When do we pray before we read the scriptures? Lord, thank you that you are the wounded healer. And you have had reconciled, you have had this ministry of reconciling us with you and reconciling the world with you. Thank you that you give us this ministry too. And when we open the scriptures, we want to hear from you and to see in your ways. Amen. I'm going to read Luke 8:42-48. Now, you know that Luke was a doctor, and he puts a special attention to those passages where a healing is done. And he puts a special attention where women are there. And he puts a special attention when the poor are there. So this is one of the occasions when he put his attention to a woman and to a woman who is healed. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But you said, "Someone touched me. I know that power." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, and I know that power was gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go undernourished, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she has been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I just briefly want to mention three things that I see from this passage. One is that, interesting is that when the woman touched the edge of the clock, she's recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah. And I just learned this recently, because you know, the majority of Jewish have a piece of cloth here, and then interwove is a blue thread that goes a little bit out of the rest of the cloth. So there is a tradition among them that the Messiah will heal anybody just by touching that part. The woman knew this. And she recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And that's why she was drawn to touch Jesus' cloth. The other thing is that Jesus restored her in three different ways. First, physically, after 12 years of being sick. Second, socially, because again, she was outcast for having this illness. Bleeding was, in that culture, a woman has to be outside, and she couldn't touch anything. So Jesus restored her in front of other people. So it was a social restoration, and emotionally too. It was a long-term illness, and chronic illnesses brings depression. That's something that when we have any kind of chronic illness, we have to fight the depression that comes with that. And this woman was depressed. Nobody wanted even to touch her. No husband. And Jesus restored her emotionally too. Jesus did not cure the crowds applying proven ministry techniques. He just spoke from his heart, acted out of compassion, and led the results to God. He wanted only one thing, to do the will of his Father. So Jesus was always listening and in touch with God. And out of this intimacy, God, there were always power and radiated everywhere. From John 14 to 12, the chapters, basically one of the words that he said is, whatever they do, you do can also. Even greater things. Then in Mark 16, 15 to 18 says, go out and heal the sick, walk on the snake, call the dead to life. This was not a small talk. He was serious. Basically, he was saying precisely, you are sent into the world to heal and to cure, to do the same ministry that he was doing. That means that we are called to do the same ministry that God was, that Jesus was doing on earth. We have to trust God in his healing power. Trust that if we are living as the beloved and have compassion for people, many will be healed, whether or not we notice it or not. The question is not, how do I bring these people to Jesus? Or how do I make them to believe what I believe? Or how do I help them? Ministry just happens. You and I do very little. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit who works in the hearts of people. I don't try to get people into the church or to join me in prayer or taking the Holy Supper. We just start by praying and offer the Eucharistics and see who comes. We are here to say, this is who we are, and this is who God is for us, and who God is for the others as well. To present the face of Jesus and his heart. We have to trust God that if we are sons and daughters of God, a healing power of God will go out of us and people will be healed and restored. People will want to know where your energy comes from. They will want to touch you and to get the overflow as the woman in the Luke narrative. There is something interesting from the scriptures, and it's the idea that all followers of Christ are called to missions. This is that false perception that only pastors and some other ministers are called to serve the Lord. But the reality is that we all are called to follow him, to serve him, and others, and to follow his own steps. That is the whole concept of the Christian church. We are the body of Christ. Each of us, the members of the church, have a special gift to share. Each of us, nobody can say, I don't have any gift. But we are called to share those gifts. Jesus' mission on earth was to call a community together, to empower them for ministry in the world. Jesus said in John 14 to 16, when I go, I will send my Spirit, and my Spirit will empower you. All things that the Father told me, I am telling you. All things that I am doing, you will also do, even greater things than I. The ministry of the body of Christ is not really something that you are trying to do, although he called us to do many things. Ministry is the fruit of finding your gifts and offering what you have. I'm going to repeat that. Ministry is the fruit of finding your gifts and offering what you have. Ministry is not something that requires professional credentials. It is a vocation each of us claim by virtue of our baptism in the body of Christ. Ministry is not something that you can do certain hours during the day and then you come home and relax at night. Ministry can happen even the time when you are relaxing. If we are living in communion with God, if we know that we are beloved of God, if we make ourselves available for service, we can do other than minister. We cannot do other than minister. Ministry is the overflow of our love for God and for others. 5 years ago, we were invited by the church in Oaxaca to serve them. And they told us that they wanted to work in holistic ministries to reach out the community. We received the invitation when we left Monterrey because they knew that our focus in ministry was exactly that. Soon after we arrived, we realized that they were not ready to serve the community because they were with a lot of wounds. They were in conflict and a lot of division among them. In response, we decided to go to the basics. And the basis was discipleship, affirming their faith with the Word of God, praying, facilitating reconciliation with God and with others, and healing while being healed by God. I want to refer to a woman that Patty knows better than I, because it's very close to her, and her name is Raquel. And Raquel was raised in a Christian family in Oaxaca. Her father was a faithful person who helped to found one of the churches in the area of Oaxaca. But at home, he was so strict with Raquel and her siblings that she became rebellious and decided to go to walk apart from God. Her father abused his children by imposing rules and behaviors in an attempt to force them to be good Christians. In that sense, she perceived God as a strict person, a judge without any love or compassion or forgiveness or grace. Years later, she married an abused man who also wanted to control her. And he abused her in many ways. Finally, he abandoned her and her three children and married a younger woman. And he forgot about his first family. So Raquel became resentful with her father, with her ex-husband, and with God. And that affected the way she related with others, of course. A few months before we arrived to Oaxaca, she started attending the church again. And she started looking for God again. One day, Patty invited her to join the women's group. And there, she started a discipleship process. In some occasions, not only her, but other people were saying, "We have been attending church for 30 years, and this is the first time we understand the gospel and the salvation." She started a long process of restoration, and she's still in that process with many wounds. Raquel has found restoration in God, and she has found that God is a loving God, a loving Father who loves her unconditionally. And that makes a big difference in her life. In this process, Raquel became a healer of others. She's one of the Christian women who visit the jail, the women in the jail. And she's one of the healers of these women who also have a lot of wounds. We see this process in many other people down there, and it's probably just the beginning. We just want to praise God for all of this. And we ask God that we don't become wounded people to be in that environment too, because it's hard to be in that environment all the time. But we trust God. And we trust that He is with us in this process. God has a room for you too and a call to be wounded healers. And I know that God is going to use you a lot. And He's using you a lot. I'm really thankful that you guys are having this 13-week series on, what is that? Grieving? Yes. That's a way to heal wounds. I know that some people here are interested in working and helping people who are victims of human trafficking. So I encourage you to do so, because this is part of our call to reconcile people with God and to restore us and the society around us. Let's pray.